Your Bibles to Psalm 145. Psalm 145, verse 1. If you're physically able, stand with me and let's honor the reading. Psalm 145. The Bible says, I will extol thee, my God, O King. I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise thy works to another, and shall declare thy mighty acts. I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty and of thy wondrous works. And men shall speak of the might of thy terrible acts, and I will declare thy greatness. They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy greatness and shall sing of thy righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. Dear God, I pray, Lord, this morning as we come back to Psalm 145, Lord, that we realize, Lord, that we should be humble before you in your power, in your love and mercy and grace. Lord, we should be humbled every day, as the scripture portrays. Lord, it not be some circumstance in our life or in our world that draws us to our knees. Lord, that we might understand, Lord, truly through your word, that you mean vividly what you say, that we're not to lean on our own understanding, but you promise in your word that you will give us your understanding. And Lord, for this greatness, I pray that you'll begin to reveal it in our individual lives, in our church in the coming weeks, that truly, Lord, we'll be, as Jesus taught us, voluntarily humbled more and more day by day before your greatness. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. You may be seated. You may be gone for the holiday weekend last weekend, and we kind of began to kick off a new church year here in Psalm 145. Kind of excited to get back. We're just getting started, so if you were out of town, you're okay. We'll get you caught right up and jump right in. But I'm continually overwhelmed by the biblical statement that's made here. Look with me again in the Bible where it says in verse 3, great is the Lord, greatly to be praised, and this greatness is unsearchable. Now, I don't think I would get any argument by anyone here. If we were to pause after church or before you came in, and we could really talk about the greatness of God. Amen? We could talk. It could take on a lot of forms. For some of you, you just can go through your memory of times past, just how great God has been to you. Let's look at Randy over there with his grandson in his arms asleep. And that's great. Amen? That's a gift from a great God. So we know, amen? Skip, we know God's great. We understand his greatness. But what I truly believe God has been pouring in my heart, and I pray that in my inadequate fashion, but through the Spirit that I can begin to help pour out into our church, is that there's a disconnect. We would argue it, we believe it, we've seen it, we've experienced it, but there's a disconnect between how we live, how we think, how our calendars look, what we're consumed with, what we're passionate about. There's a lot of things, if we're not careful, that we could really say amen to God when he says that we live in a time, and God warned us. God, through his word, tells us that there's coming a time when people will be lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. That there'll be pleasures in this world that will be what's great. Amen? And it kind of filters over in church and sometimes, if somebody can preach about church, talk about church, it's us. Amen? Because we're part of the church. Amen? But think about some things that you may have said or thought or whatever that you hear people say. We really get caught up in great things, amen? People will be so excited about their church. Man, I have a great church. Come visit my church sometime. I have a great church. People will say, hey, we've got a great pastor. You need to come hear my pastor. So, got a great pastor. Oh, man, we have great music at church. If you can just hear somebody, it's great. Oh, there's great music. We have great worship. We have a great Sunday school program. We have a great time sometimes. You hear where the, and all the time, we're not careful. We get caught up in the greatness of God and the greatness of church, and where the disconnect comes in. And here's the question. I've been asking week after week, and I tell y'all, I'm asking myself, I'm asking you. Are you experiencing the relationship that God desires to have with you? Think about that for a moment. Some of you with me, you've been praying, and I find it to be a question. The more I ask it and the more I pray about it, the more complicated the answer gets. Or maybe the more, Scott, I complicate the answer, and I begin to rationalize, I begin to justify, I begin to kind of think it through my mind. But it really comes down to, and if I didn't find anything else in my time of study this week, I think part of the answer to that question is that God gives us a descriptive term here from Psalm 145. What He desires to have in you and I is a great relationship. Amen? A great God desires to have a great relationship. I don't know anyone in our church. I don't know anyone in my family. I have never met anyone who has a perfect relationship with another human being. Miss Loretta, do you know anyone that has a perfect relationship? Now, I know some folks that act like they do, you know. I know some folks will even tell you that they've got a perfect relationship, but that we know that does not exist. Amen. There's no one that has a perfect relationship with anyone. But what the Bible describes to us when we come, when we understand, when we come to that point in time and we realize our sinfulness, what sin has done in our lives, and be aware, as I pray, when you look at the storms of life, go back and read Job. Job is a good reminder of what happens as Satan continues to unleash his power on the world. And remember, be careful how you describe what you feel like is going on these physical storms of life apart from the Bible. Amen? We live in a fallen world. We live in a world that's fallen by sin, but when we realize our sin and realize the only hope that we have for our sin and forgiveness, the only opportunity we have to be made right with God and put back in relationship is through Jesus Christ, which was, remember, what it causes Jesus Christ to leave the glory of heaven, to leave the perfection, if you would, to leave the greatness of heaven and come down to earth and be born into the body of a little baby, and to go through all the history, to experience as we did all the sinfulness and fallenness of the world. But then He died on the cross, so it's only His death, only in His death and His burial and resurrection, only in Him conquering the greatness of the power of God through His Son, brings us into a relationship that truly we can have a great relationship with God. We can have a relationship, a growing relationship, this great experiences greatness, how it continually will convict us of sin and draw us back to Him and send us out in love to help others. It's been amazing to see. I love, and I don't know how many of you caught this, but there was a story out back in the excitement. I can't remember the place it was, but in the rush to find a generator, and this lady was in Home Depot, and she was literally in tears, and literally the cameras were there, and she was in tears because her husband was on oxygen. Whole different level, amen? For wanting to keep your stuff frozen in the freezer, keep the refrigerator on and TV on. I mean, so she's just in tears. Comes a young man up, and he's got his generator, you know, and he gives it to the lady. Man, you know, just that, man. And then they have him come back, and the manager of the store, I guess the next day, they get some generators in. They have the guy come back down. It's obvious that he doesn't know what's going on. And there they are. They give it to him. Give him a brand new generator in the box and a gas can on top. Amen. The very stuff you can't find now anymore. Y'all, that's just a glimpse of what God desires to do in our lives. But once again, I go back to the disconnect. We say He's great. We know He's great. But we don't allow Him to have a great relationship with us. I'm going to tell you, I promise you, we're going to begin to look, beginning this morning, at some basic things. And over the next few Sundays, we're going to be looking at, as God tells us in this word, he describes completely and very simply for us to understand what it means. That, listen, one of the easiest things that we can have is a great relationship with God. Because what comes into play, Tim, is his greatness coming into us. When you receive Christ, a great God moved in, okay? And if you'll just not quench the Spirit and allow that great God to work, he will do great things through you. It's not you and I. Man, sometimes the way I think and sometimes the way I feel and sometimes what I say and sometimes what I do, how it totally contradicts that. But listen, what we've done is we've begun to make excuses. We know he's a great God. We believe he's a great God. And I'll be honest with you, most of us are living our days as if we will look forward to, but we want to get all we can of this world before time. We're looking forward to one day living in heaven in a great place with a great God. Glory, hallelujah. Amen? Because what we say is, well, you know, it is, I'm just a sinful person. I do the best I can. I'm better than I used to be. I'm better, you know, I'm trying. I'm doing the best I can. You don't understand. All these things are going on. And what happens is Satan continually is having us focus on these little problems in our life. Or they may seem like huge problems. God is sitting back and said, I want to have a great relationship with you. We kind of have jumped into this. And I backed up as I was looking. And it was on Father's Day that we were looking in Scripture about and talking about how we need to focus more on the Father. And it's a focus on our Heavenly Father that really take care of us entering into this great relationship he wants to have with us. That's what he wants to have. So glory, hallelujah. If you could say, you know, I'd be honest, I don't really feel like I've got a great relationship with God today. I mean, that's a great starting point for where we're going the next few Sundays. To just be honest with God and honest with yourself. And if you would, as you leave today or during this week, help some of the rest of us out. And would you testify or just give us a glimpse of that's the case? Amen. Because there's nothing that tires me anymore and frustrates anymore or the super spiritual church people that try to act like everything's okay when everything's not okay. Okay? The only thing that's okay is God inside of me. The only thing that's okay is me beginning more and more to be able to see and testify that, hey, there's great things that God is doing. He wants to do, he has done, and he can do. But on that Father's Day, you know, I asked that same question I had asked, and I'd referred back to when I met Sandra and began to date Sandra, and I began to, you know, have a relationship with her, and I just focused, man, all this time and energy and money into building a relationship with a girl, amen? But what happens is that a lot of times or many times I lack the focus on the Father and the relationship he wants to have with me, and what does it prevents me from really building on that. And I made note on that Sunday, I look back and what it comes is, a lot of times I'm adding things to my life that he doesn't want added. Amen? Can I get an amen? I'm adding things to my life, and what that does is they're good things, they in the world's eyes great things, but I'm adding things, but it's things that are interfering my relationship with God. And then what I do and you do is we take things away. We take things out of our life that God wants us to have there, and that interferes with relationship. Amen? I guarantee you, when I was dating Sandra, if I all of a sudden stopped calling her, and I guess it's still the same today, man, back then, all we had was a home phone. And really, all we had to wait to do anything or see each other at school is be on the phone. And I hated to talk on the phone. And Sandra loved to talk on the phone. And my ear would get hot. Amen? I mean, my ear would literally feel like it was hot. And I wonder, she just, you know. But if I had quit answering the phone because they're talking to her, if I took that part of our relationship, I don't know that we'd be together today. Amen? Right? Honestly. And then I find myself, though, I would add into our relationship at times. I would add and I would, you know, I would go off with a group of friends and we would add something into our date night that wasn't normally there. Amen? We'd go to a club or we'd go riding around some folks doing things. So I was adding things into my relationship with her that really didn't need to be there. And oftentimes what happens when that happens, it would cause what? An argument, Chris. Amen? Man, you see, everything's like having a good time, we're having a great time. But the problem is when we're out of the will of God. That's a very basic, simple explanation. But look, without a narrow and dedicated focus or relationship with the Father, our relationship's always incomplete. And so, hey, he is great God every second, every moment of the day. That's all he does, Byron. Everything, I mean, he doesn't do anything halfway. And so the problem is when we come in and excuse, listen, it's almost like we're saying is, well, God is not great enough or powerful enough to help me either quit adding this into my life or taking it out of the way. Well, that sounds like a problem, doesn't it? Because is he great or not? See where we're going with this? That will continually be the question. Am I having a great relationship he wants to have? And where's the problem? And the problem lies in me, okay? Just draw a circle around yourself, because the problem is not with your family. And the problem is not with your husband or wife. And the problem is not with your children. The problem is not with mom and dad. The problem is always squarely placed at God. If you want to have a great relationship with God, it is entirely up to you personally. Amen? Well, you know, preacher, I never in all my life, I don't think I'll ever forget. I had someone sitting in my office about three years ago, in my office, and they were sitting in the chair in my office, and they were telling me all the things that I wasn't doing right. And they literally made this statement. They looked at me and said, you know, I'm not in my relationship with God where I need to be right now. And, you know, at points in time, and I mean what I tell y'all, you know, Bible tells us clearly that it's just, to listen often. I often say Brother Johnny Hunt told us in pastor school often, it's wisdom is being enjoy what you think when someone's talking to you without saying the words. So I'm listening. And I'm looking at this old boy thinking, you didn't just tell me that you're not where you need to be or that you should be in your relationship with God. And you're telling me what you think is wrong with me. Is there not a disconnect? Amen? But the problem is that scenario is played out every day in our lives. Amen? The world and people around us are continually trying to tell us what we need to do or not do or what we should do. And then many times they'll say that. The words, now I'm not where I need to be. I'm not exactly where I need to be. Then you know what? The best thing that someone needs to do is the Greek word in the Bible, and I translate it, you need to shut up. Amen? So God is saying, you know, when he says in Matthew 7:13, when he says, enter you at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. And then he says, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and there be few that find it. Do you know what God meant by that? Let me give you the deep meaning of this passage. Best thing I'd probably give you. This is what he meant. It's going to be a wide and open path of people neglecting God and his greatness and just living like they want to, and many people, it says, will find it. And then he says that there's this narrow path of having that great relationship, and it really affecting everything in our lives, and we being in his will, and just amazing what's going on. Now, listen, in that amazement, always remember, they crucified Jesus. There was no one in closer relationship ever in life than Jesus and the Father. He said they were one. He wanted us to be one. So suffering and trouble and disaster and problems in the sinful world is part of having a great relationship with God. Amen? I'm not talking about things are all going to get rosy. You're going to have all your problems solved. You're going to be healed of all your diseases, and you're going to have plenty of money. That's not what we're talking about, a biblical relationship. But when you have that relationship, what we find is that in the midst of that, we find that God truly continues to be great. We looked on Wednesday night, we were looking at a different psalm, and it described there was a cave that David had hid in with his men. Saul was after him. It's the same David who wrote this Psalm 145. And what in the cave, Abdullah, where they actually can go to that cave, well, they feel like maybe that cave. And what it is, there's a high mountain, there's a deep gorge, and there's a little narrow path that some people have walked to now to go to, and you go down into the cave. That's what David. So David, for his safety, had gone down this narrow path. Now, herein comes the problem that we have often. When the circumstances of life, when the choices we've made or the choices other people make or circumstances of life, you can take it from a hurricane coming to just a general problem that, you know, Jason, you said something you shouldn't have said, and boy, it's on now. Amen? How many I've seen at Pastor's Pals over the years, somebody's done it for the toothpaste. When you squirt toothpaste out of the tube, can you get it back in? No. When you get the words out, you know, but trouble. Amen? And what happens is, when we get squeezed into the narrow path, we want a great God. And we love a great God. And we're thankful for a great God. Death comes. Tragedy comes. We're on that narrow path. Man, we're praising Him. We're thankful for Him. We're talking about all the good things that God promises He works from the bad things. And we're excited about Him. But then when after the funeral time's over, after the eating time's over, after the time at the hospital's over, after the marriage is over, after we get through the narrow pace, all of a sudden, it's almost like this. You know those images of the people evacuating from Florida? Have you seen those on the interstates that back up? Man, y'all, I don't get where I don't like interstates anymore, Randy, because if there's air bit of wreck or air bit of trouble, it'd be on the other side. Them things just shut down, amen? You may have been in that. That's a scary thought. Wintertime, they'll shut down, and people are out there freezing to death because they're shut down. So if you're in that situation, the greatest thing that can happen is you look up above, and it can begin to ease up. You look ahead, hey, it's opening up, it's breaking up. The path is getting wider again. There's a way I can get out of this. And that's the way we live our lives. And we leave, it's like we leave God back in the narrow places. Well, I didn't plan on saying that. That sounded good. Amen. Give me an amen, somebody. Good gracious. It's like we like Him to be great then. And what God is saying is this. God, if you don't get anything else out of this introduction of the message this morning, is this. What God is saying is the path of great relationship with me is a narrow path. It's a narrow path on Monday mornings. It's a narrow path on Friday and Saturday night. It's a narrow path at Christmas time. It's a narrow path in summertime. It's a narrow path anytime you go. And if you really want to have the relationship I want with you, you get in that narrow path with me and quit taking an exit off the narrow path. Quit waiting for a wider path to go. So as you look back at Psalm 145, I want to plant this seed as we jump into verse 1. Look what verse 1 says. Verse 1 says, I will extol thee. Not a word extol that we use a lot in our everyday language, but it simply is an important word, and I still use it in this message because it's still in the Bible, but also what that word translates is high praise, the highest praise possible. So what David was saying is, I'm going to extol you, God. I'm going to praise you with the highest praise possible. That's really the entry point we're going to look at into this idea of greatness. Experiencing a great relationship, having God work in the narrow paths of our lives, praise is something that's so important. But hey, listen, we praise Him. We think praise is coming to church and singing a praise song. We think praise is riding down the road, you know, and a good song comes on. We have all these definitions of praise when what David has understood that is praise becomes a part of his relationship with God. Now hold that thought for a moment. Lord willing, in the next few Sundays, don't know exactly when, we're going to go back to Joshua chapter 24. And we're going to look in Joshua chapter 24. So if you want to read ahead, do some study. Joshua makes that statement. He says, as for me and my house, will serve the Lord. So Joshua say, as for me and then my house, I want to have a great relationship with God. I want to experience a great God in life. And so what we'll begin to understand, we're going to build a foundation that begins with me, begins with you, then begins with your family. It doesn't, you don't depend on, listen, if you're depending on school to just educate your children, you're going to be sadly disappointed. Amen, Mike? Would you give me an amen as a teacher? I mean, it takes the me of a student working and studying and doing the work. It takes family helping do the quiz together, be supportive. If you're sending kids to get educated, then you've just missed out on the whole idea of education. It's just a small part of what's going on. Same way with church. If you're depending on, I almost want to laugh, if you're depending on this church and this Sunday school program and this pastor and this praise team here to help you in a relationship with God and be what dependent upon that, I'm sorry, it's not happened. Teresa, I just caught you. You were laying in the hospital, flat in your bed just a couple of days ago. It's good to see you in church. Amen. Pray for Teresa. Good to see you this morning. I just caught your eye. So listen, it's about the me. So go back to verse 1. So he says, I'll extol thee. It's his high praise. It's glorifying. It's lifting him up. And so on that narrow path, what he's saying is that no matter what's going on, praise is going to be an important part of my relationship with God. So let me ask a question. What kind of relationship do you want to start with? That's a fair question, Miss Linda, right? Because who in the world wants to dive in this all at one time? I mean, that'd just be too much, wouldn't it? It's got to be a gradual thing. So let's look at it this way. And I'm going to help you determine where you're going to be at on this relationship. And we'll start with praise. Okay, preacher, I think, you know, Sunday morning praise time, I think that'll be good. Let's just go with that to begin with. What Psalm 140, what David is saying is, one of the keystones of your personal relationship with Him will be dependent on praise. So you just give me a few songs on Sunday morning. Give me a few songs on the radio. That's all the relationship I want. Track with me? See what's going on here? So what we're going to find is that now, preacher, wait a minute. I'm not quite following what that means. That's the problem. That's why there's a disconnect. This praise that is born inside of us is come because God created us to glorify His name in everything we say and do. All the glory in life is to go to Him. And all the praise is to go to Him. And so what that means is, as much as I love Adelaide, as much as I love my grandbaby, that I cannot spend more time praising her than I do my Lord. Amen? And so what God is saying is, if you really want to understand relationship, we're going to be what should be very simply this morning, but it's not simple at all. Look in verse 2. He says, I will praise thy name forever and ever. It's that eternity picture. He said, listen, praise is so important in your relationship with me that it's something you're going to do forever. Now, we've got a lot of things we do now. Thank goodness hospitals won't be forever. Amen? Church is not going to be forever. Thank God I do get retired one day when I die and go to heaven. Amen? That a lot of things are not forever. Work's not forever. Can I get a witness? Amen? Taxes aren't forever. Death's not forever. All these things. But what he's saying is, praise is forever. That's to make us, we should stop and say, whoa, hold on. If I want a great relationship, and God, you really want to do something in my life, and I want to get on that narrow path and really experience you doing things in my life, and then me being able to do things through you in my life, praise? Yeah. So important that will be for all eternity, gathered by the throne of God. The Bible's clear. Heaven is a place of service. We serve Him. There's no night there. We serve Him. The Bible says in Revelation, His servants serve Him. But in the midst of all that, praise is an integral part of what's happening. And so, Jessica, praise us much more than the praise song. Amen? Much more than anything we do at church. So praise, as we begin to study and dive in deep, is going to be incredibly important. And I bet you'll find that it probably will be easier for you to pray more, read your Bible more, and do more things for God trying to get a relationship. And he says, no. Remember what Joshua said, as for me. So it's kind of as for me, he said, listen, God, you're going to have to teach us about this praise. I really believe that, amen? That's why I love that song by Jimmy Needham that speaks of just, help us name the song. Clear the Stage, and that song is talking about, you know, that praise is much more than a song. And so I think why this is such an important entry point in what we're going to look at in the coming weeks is this. I don't really believe the average pastor, including me, and the average church member, we really understand what praise is. But it's something that's so important. He begins, and how he begins in verse 1 is David says, I'm going to extol Thee. I'm going to praise Thee, highly God. It's going to be one of the number one things in my life. And he calls His, my God, O King. Y'all, did you realize that you and I were created to need a king? And any time, anything, all that stuff within us wants control of our lives and control of people and control of things. It's us sitting on that king's throne in our life that Jesus Christ is the only one set there. So David is crying out and saying, oh, King, I praise you. Look in verse 3. He describes in verse 3 with the words greatly to be praised. There's that great word. You want a great relationship, that's going to be connected with great praise. Now, some of you should be asking right now, and I hope you ask this question, what, preacher, I'm not sure. What are you talking about? I got to get me some praise CDs. I got to get me satellite radio so I can get the praise channel. I mean, I need to get me. How do I do this? Hey, the answer to that is this. That's what God's going to begin to do in our lives as we search these scriptures. So turn to Psalm 150 and we'll finish here. Turn right over to Psalm 150 close by. As you turn there, I want to challenge you to do this. Spend some time, once again, in Psalm 145 this week. And I want you to spend some time in Psalm 150. I want you to ask God, personally ask God, what place, listen, very simple, what place God does praise for you have in my life? Byron, fair question? Simple, Aaron, fair question. God, what part does praise have in my relationship with you now? And listen, far better answer than I can give you. Well, in this whole seeking a great relationship is for God through the Holy Spirit, through His Word, and through your prayer to give you answers. And I encourage you, as God begins to speak truth into your life, I mean, one of the greatest, I mean, I hope it's not this case for all of us, it may be, or many of us, but one of the greatest things you come in next Sunday is come alongside somebody and say, you know, I prayed that prayer preacher mentioned, and I kept reading Psalm 150, it's not anywhere. I'm really just not praising Him. I mean, God can use that. Because I'll be honest with you, there's days that I could say after studying this passage, I'm like, God, I missed it. I wasn't praising you today. I didn't praise you in any way, Marty, at all today. Read with me Psalm 150. Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in the firmament of His power. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise Him with the psaltery and harp. Praise Him with the timbrel and dance. Praise Him with stringed instruments and organs. Praise Him upon the loud cymbals. Praise Him upon the high-sounding cymbals. Look in verse 6. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Now, I'll give you one danger thing as we finish this. Don't do this. Don't try to accomplish this by when you go to work tomorrow or school tomorrow, wherever you go, trying to Katie to praise Him out loud more than ever before. Man, I just want to praise God for Sunday. I want to praise God for my job. You know, somebody comes to you, it's been rough for work. Oh, I just praise God I got my job. Listen, what we're talking about is our personal relationship with Jesus and what praise looks like that way. Too often, preachers and churches and choir directors and choirs and choir members, we connected praise with a certain outward thing that we think is praise, and we feel guilty that we haven't done enough, Terry, and so we try to overcome. That's not what he's talking about. What we're talking about is your personal praise to Him in your private time with Him. That's all we're talking about. Amanda, very simple. You don't have to tell anybody what He's telling you. And you may go all week and say, you know, I didn't get a thing, God. You know what that just means? Keep asking. But I'm convinced the more and more I look at this scripture, we'll tackle another one next Sunday, but we're going to begin with here. And what we're simply asking is this: God, I do want to have a great relationship. And I want to work on this. And God, this praise that's going to last forever and ever, all eternity, begin to teach me what that means as I spend time with You and as I serve You and as I just walk in this world. Would you pray with me? That's our prayer, God. Teach us about praise. Take Psalm 145 and 150 and just begin to help us understand and just think it and live it more. Now this morning, if you never come to that point where you realized that you were lost, see, if there's never been a place and a time where you turn from yourself and your sin and you gave your life to Jesus, you ask Him to forgive you, believing what He did for you on the cross, and you ask Him to come into your life. See, when that happens, you become a new creation, the Bible says. New man or woman. All things are new. If you've never had that, then this morning, at this altar, even right now, just praying a prayer of inviting Jesus to come into your heart and forgiving you of your sins. Maybe you simply want to come and let us take the Bible and help you understand through that. But you can't praise Him apart from having Him inside you. You can't have a great relationship without Him. There's no pressure at all. He's not asking you to be great. He's saying He desires to have a great relationship and do great things in your life and through you. So as we come to the altar, how many will join me and just come and begin to pray right here at this altar? Dear God, teach me about praise. Let me understand what praise looks like. And Lord, I pray You'll help me during the coming weeks, Lord, to be able to open up the scripture and let You explain it to us more and more. But we begin here. We begin again at Your altar. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Jessica.
You please stand and join me with, Lord, I need You.